This is But You're Wrong. I'm Keith Bodela.
I'm Greg DiNicola.
I did have one article that I saw earlier today that really pissed me off. Times are tough. Everybody's trying to spend a little bit more carefully, right?
Right.
And then I hear stories about money and research money being spent on weird things. And this one comes from the New York Daily News. And again, I'm just going to skip the headline so we can have a little lead up. In tough times, size really does matter. Men are more attracted to heavier women during periods of heightened stress, according to a study published Wednesday in the scientific journal PLOS One. PLOS One. All right. Researchers at University of Westminster in London studied a group of 81 men, half of whom were put in anxiety-inducing situations like simulated job interviews. The other half got to kick back and relax. Both groups were then asked to look at pictures of women of various sizes, from emaciated to obese, and rate them based on physical attractiveness. While neither group expressed interest in either end of the spectrum, the men in the stressed group consistently rated photos of normal or overweight women higher than snapshots of skinny women. It turns out that men may prefer the heavier set during rougher periods thanks to biological impulses. So first of all, they spent money to do a study about this.
Yeah. I think the most amazing part of it is that someone came up with this hypothesis that if you're stressed, you like a different size of a woman.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Who came up with this?
Why would that ever even cross your mind? Like, what would the correlation be? Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm not a scientist, but...
It says previous work has suggested that the experience of psychological stress may influence physical attractiveness ideals, but most evidence in favor of this, and they spell favor with a U, of this hypothesis
yes.
remains archival. The objective of this study was to experimentally investigate the impact of stress on men's judgments of female body size.
You know, I actually saw this article today.
I think it just came out today.
I was surfing the online. I didn't get to read it, but I saw the headline and I was like, really? That's, I don't know. I was just taken aback by it.
Here's where I don't quite agree with their reasoning. In difficult times, like starvation or a crashing economy, which, you know, can easily be simulated by, like, a job interview or something like that.
Right.
Both men and women tend to turn to those who have a couple extra pounds, since a more physically robust body seems to suggest that the person can better handle a crisis, a theory known as the environmental security hypothesis. I don't think I've ever looked at a overweight person and said, you know what? They got their shit together. They can handle a crisis.
Yeah, you know what? I am going to say I kind of see where they're going here.
Do you?
I don't necessarily think that I don't think that we would get into a bad situation and then consciously look at a woman and be like, you know what? She's got what I need. I'm stressed out. I need a big woman. Like, I don't think we would ever think that. But I guess maybe the body's reaction to stress, maybe looking for someone to provide for us. I don't know. Maybe. I can see it.
I don't know. I don't see how even my body would look at somebody and go, I think this person who's overweight can handle a crisis better. Maybe they're just because they're larger and they seem stronger.
Yeah.
Like, maybe, is that it?
What if it all goes back to, like, when we were kind of like tribal creatures, you know?
Hmm.
And the chief was always the fat one. Because he's the chief. He's the successful one. He's the one with all the money. So maybe it comes, I don't know, maybe it's a built-in reaction from way, way back.
That's true.
Where all, like, the hunters and all those guys, I mean, they weren't getting that much. They were all just getting the scraps. But the chief, that guy had it made in the shade. That's, so maybe.
You know what? I didn't think of that.
Yeah.
Or in, you know, like Roman times, you know, all the rich ones were fat because they could afford all the food.
Right.
So the rich ones could eat whatever, and then that was a sign of wealth.
Exactly.
So maybe it's left over from that. Huh.
I don't know. I mean, it could just... There could be something like that. Just now it's just so in our psyche that, you know, I always think of the Chris Rock, the stand-up, and he's talking about how we look at fat people, or, you know, and being like, oh man, that's disgusting, or whatever. And he's like, if you go to a poor country, if you walk up to them and you're fat, they'll be like, what? How did you do that? Look at you. You must really have something going.
I'm just thinking of the people that, like, when I go to Walmart and you see the people on the little rascals driving around.
Oh, yeah.
And they just ride in on a little rascal into a village, and everybody's just like, holy shit, look at that guy. He must be a god.
Oh, yeah. Like, this guy's like 800 pounds.
How the hell did he do this?
He must be a king where he's from. Oh, yeah.
Did you hear about the woman that actually wants to be, like, the fattest woman alive?
You know, I heard something about it, but I didn't get any details.
But there's a woman, yeah, that is actually trying to be...
I was just looking for the article about the woman that wants to be fat, but found something else. The world's fattest woman is losing weight. Last year, we were introduced to Pauline Potter, the world's heaviest living woman, according to the Guinness Book of World Records. And this is not stupid. It turns out that Potter, the woman who once claimed that she lives to overindulge and eat whenever she wants, is doing her best to lose weight, and it's working. She found a way to burn 500 calories more each day, and she's dropped from 643 pounds to 545. Let's see. How did she do it?
Well, and how long?
Yeah, it doesn't say how long. I think it's a year, because it says last year we were introduced to this woman. But when her ex-husband, Alex, saw Pauline's record-breaking entry into the Guinness Book of World Records, he visited her for the first time in 3 years, and incredibly, despite Pauline's size, reignited their sex life. They now make love up to 7 times a day, despite Alex risking suffocation if Pauline were to get on top.
That's in the article?
Yes, this is not a very professionally written article. And she says that their sex sessions are helping her slim. She's lost 70 pounds in 7 months and 45. I don't even know how this is written. 45 ST can stand up again, but admits Alex does most of the work in the bedroom. She says, I can't move much in bed, but I burn 500 calories a session. It's great exercise, just jiggling around.
Wow! So I found an article about the woman that wants to be the heaviest ever. What was your woman's name? Not your woman. The article.
Yeah. Pauline.
Okay. The first article that came up was The Sun, in the UK. So. Ooh. There's part of this that I don't really understand, but we'll try it. Mountainous Mum, M-U-M.
Of course.
Susan Eman scoffs more than 20,000 calories a day in a bid to become the fattest woman of all time. She weighs 52 stone and is aiming to hit 115 stone. Now, I don't know what a stone is. That's what I don't understand. But the single mother of two has already passed the previous record holder, 50 stone Donna Simpson, 43, of New Jersey. Oh, shit. Amazingly, her shape is a turn-on, and turn-on is in all capital letters and bold in the article, is a turn-on for some men, and she models for super-sized websites. Suzanne 32 said, "The bigger I get, the better I feel. I feel confident and sexy."
Oh. Where is this woman from?
I don't know yet.
Okay.
2 years ago, I hit 35 stone and noticed I had actually started attracting more men. It made me feel good. My goal is to be 57 stone by the end of the year. And this was in... This was last year. So she may even be bigger then. I should be 115 stone by age 41 or 42.
Yeah, if she's still alive.
Yeah. Why not see how fat I can get? I want to break the stigma that being fat is a bad thing. Why would you want to break that stigma? Like, it's proven that it's a bad thing.
I don't know. Just as an aside, a stone is an unit of measure used in Great Britain and Ireland for measuring human body weight. Stone is approximately 6.35 kilograms or 14 pounds. What a ridiculous way to measure things. So what is she now, 50 stone?
I think she's 52. She's 52.
Okay.
So how many is that? you do that. I'm gonna recalculate her goal of 115 stone. Holy shit!
Hold on, don't say anything. Oh Jesus! Okay, well, right now she's 728 pounds.
Wow! So her goal is 1,610 pounds.
Oh my god, how is that even possible?
How much is in a ton, though?
Oh boy.
What was that, The Price is Right?
Yes.
A ton is, let's see.
Yeah, a ton.
2,000 pounds. Is that what you're getting?
Well, I think there's multiple. It says in the United Kingdom, a ton is defined as 2,240 pounds.
Yeah, but you know what? In the U.S., it's saying 2,000 pounds.
Oh, you know what? That's what's known as a short ton.
Okay.
A long ton is 200. The other one.
Well, we're actually in America right now, so I'm just gonna say. All right,
so we'll go by short.
I'm gonna go by 2,000 pounds. So she wants to weigh almost a ton. Let me tell you about her shopping and eating habits.
Please do.
While you look that up, let's see. Susan from Casa Grande, Arizona. There you go. Spends 8 hours filling 6 trolleys with food during her monthly supermarket shop.
God.
She said, "I go for a..." Oh, wow. This is an exact quote. So I'm not making fun of her on this. This is actually what she says. She said, "I go for a waddle and do stretches and exercises every day. My muscles need to hold my weight, so I have to stay strong. I take my blood pressure once a week, and I check signs like blood sugar levels. If any readings go above a certain level, I'll contact my doctor, but I haven't gone near the danger zones yet. I'd love to find out if it's possible to reach a ton." Let's hear what the doctor says. Her doctor, Patrick Flitt, warned she's playing Russian roulette, much like in The Deer Hunter. He does say she's playing Russian roulette with her life, but she's capable of making her own decisions, and I don't see any psychiatric problems or anything else wrong. At 115 stone, Susan would beat Carol Yeager of Flint, Michigan, believed to have peaked at 114 stone. She died in 1994, aged 34.
Shocked she died so young.
The Sun revealed in 2009 that Paul Mason, 48, of Ipswich, was the world's fattest person after hitting 70 stone. Son Dr. Carol Cooper said, "This is one of the saddest cases I've heard. You can't gain that much weight and stay well. Obese people are much more likely to have heart disease, strokes, and osteoarthritis, blood pressure, high cholesterol, diabetes, gallbladder disease, gout, and cancers are also common."
Ooh, the gout.
Wow. I can't believe, I can't believe that someone would do this. Would you like to know her daily food intake?
Yes.
All right. For breakfast. Greg, what do you have for breakfast?
Bowl of fruit, sometimes a bagel.
Yeah, okay. I'll have a bagel, coffee.
Oh, yeah, coffee.
Toast or something like that. Susan eats 6 eggs scrambled in butter, 1/2 pound of bacon, 4 hash browns, 6 pieces of toast and butter, and she washes it down with a 32-ounce cream shake.
Ooh, that is big.
Every morning, this is what she eats. Lunch. Lunch varies, but it's not huge, right?
Yeah, sometimes I grab like a sandwich or whatever.
Yeah. Susan has 3 beef, bean, and green chili burritos with sour cream. I don't know if that's like a Chipotle burrito, because that's huge if it is. She has a salad, 1 lettuce, which I guess it means like she eats a whole head of lettuce then?
I guess so. Yeah, right?
Yeah, 1 lettuce, 1 cup cherry tomatoes, 1 cup carrots, 1 cucumber, 1/2 cup of ranch dressing. Ugh.
Oh, yes.
Bacon bits.
And yeah, of course.
1 cup crumbled cheese and chicken.
Oh.
Now, dinner.
Dinner's got to be out of control.
No, dinner is that 12 filled tacos with 1 cup of sour cream.
You know, actually, that's not really that much considering the amount of tacos.
Well, I guess, yeah. And a 2-liter bottle of soda.
Oh.
And then for dessert, she has 8 scoops of vanilla ice cream. And then she has some brownies. Guess how many brownies she has?
12.
1 small pan. It's just what it says.
She just eats the pan. Oh my god.
Now, that's what she eats for her meals and stuff. Do you know what she eats as snacks?
I can only imagine. Smart food?
No. She does not have a sensible shake as a snack. She has 1 bag of cookies.
A bag?
A bag of cookies. 2 liters of a soda, of soft drink, it says. 1 10.5-ounce bag of crisps, or chips, as we call them. And as a snack, throughout the day, she'll have 3 ham and cheese sandwiches.
What?
So what you or I may have as a lunch, she actually has 3 of.
As a snack. Oh, boy.
I just don't understand what would motivate somebody to do this.
I mean, when I see, usually it's on TV or something, but when I see someone that is that fat, like, the only thing I can imagine what's going on is mental sickness.
Well, her doctor said he doesn't see anything psychiatric wrong. Psychiatrically, she's not messed up in the head, is what he says.
I mean, I understand the drive to want to, like, break records or something. Like, I get that. But there's got to be something wrong with you to put that much, to put yourself that much in danger. I don't know. Maybe not. I mean,
People do
messed up things to break records, though.
That's true. But when you get to be a certain size, and I just go, I don't understand how you can be happy. You obviously have trouble moving. You have to have trouble, like, with a lot of other things. Like, how can you still be that way?
Well, I mean, you know, to especially the point where, like, this woman is, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Where, like, or people like her, where, like, yeah, you can't move. You can't, like, go out and do things. You can't go to the amusement park with your family. Like, shit like that. I mean, like, that's craziness.
The other thing I think is crazy is that there are men that find that a real turn-on, and she actually gets work modeling for websites.
What was it? Supersize websites or something?
Yeah.
I guess there's probably some companies that make shit for people that big, but how big could your market be? I guess it's growing. But I mean, seriously, if you're making pants that fit a woman that's 1,000 pounds, how many people are you really selling pants to?
Well, yeah.
At that point, I feel like you just, instead of wearing pants, you just staple a shower curtain to a belt and tie it around.
Just go with the muumuu?
Basically, yeah.
Wait, wasn't this a Simpsons episode where Homer tried to become, like, the fattest man alive?
No, he didn't try to become the fattest man alive. He tried to become to get to a weight in which the nuclear power plant would let him work at home.
Yeah, he was going to try and go on disability.
I think it was like 325 pounds or something.
But the one crazy doctor was like, oh, remember, Dr. Nick. The good test is if you rub it on a piece of paper and it turns clear, it's good to eat.
Yeah, I remember they kept weighing him and his gut kept getting stuck on the towel rack or something, so it was kept not reading accurate.
Yeah.
He was like, how could I lose weight? And then there's like, oh, towel rack, and they pull his gut off. And I don't know.
Nobody thought to move the scale.
Something stupid. Yeah, no, because it kept happening. Yeah. See, the idea of purposely becoming fat, it's so absurd that it's something Homer Simpson did in a Simpsons episode once.
Yeah. I mean, just becoming that fat.
Yeah.
If you're just like, so what? I don't care if I gain a few pounds. Like, I can let myself go a little bit and put on like an extra 10 pounds. That's one thing. But if you're like, right, I want to weigh a ton. I want to weigh 1,600 pounds. I can't fathom that. She's trying to be quote unquote healthy about it. And she's like, I go for a waddle, I check my blood pressure, my blood sugar's good, but there's a ton of other things that affects. Like, that affects your bones, that affects your sleep, because, like, one of the major causes of, sleep apnea is, like, your body can't support the weight while you sleep.
Right.
So your weight actually basically crushes your chest, and you stop breathing. So you wake up so you can move. That's not good. I mean, I'm no expert, but that's not good. So moving off of fat people.
Yeah.
I had written down a little couple jumping off points. And I think I already know your answer to this. Let's say you win a contest and you can be digitally inserted as an extra in any movie. Not any movie being made now, but any movie that's been made, like, before today.
Okay.
What movie would you pick?
You know, that is really tough. Man.
And you can't be, like a known extra. Like, you can't be, like, I want to be the guy in this movie that gets blown up, or, you know, the random bad guy in Die Hard that gets shot when he's sitting on top of the table or whatever. Like,
right,
you can't be somebody specific. They just insert you into a crowd somewhere or in the background.
Ah, man. See, for me, it would come down to two choices.
One would be The Godfather.
Yes. And it would probably be either at the wedding in the first one, or St. Anthony's Feast in the second one, just kind of milling about in the back.
So your two choices would be Godfather or Godfather Part
II? Oh, no. It would be either – no, that's not true. Well, It'd either be Godfather or it would be, I don't know, like insert me as a pilot in Star Wars or something. Just a random X-Wing pilot.
just one of the guys in the celebration, or they just put you in that front row of people at the medal ceremony.
Oh yeah, that's not a bad idea. I'm like sitting next to some alien guy, or yeah.
Well, no, it was all humans.
Oh yeah, I guess it was.
Yeah, it was all humans. That's why Chewbacca didn't get a medal.
It was weird that he didn't get a medal.
He did as much as anybody.
I know.
And they were like, you know what, Chewie? You don't get
You're
a medal.
An animal.
Yeah.
I don't know. That yeah, it always did kind of bother me that he didn't get one. It's that racist George Lucas.
Well, it's just weird because, well, I mean, at the same time, there's no black people besides Lando in Star Wars.
True. Well, yeah, kind of. I mean, there's very, it's very sparse. I mean, there's like one black guy flying a Y-wing, I think, in Jedi. And then there's the guy, when they're trying to escape Cloud City, he runs by them, and he's carrying an ice cream maker. Like, that was his... I'm not even joking.
I don't remember that at all.
It was like everyone's trying to evacuate, and he clearly, like, went back to his apartment, and he grabbed, like, the one thing that he wanted to take with him, and it was an ice cream maker. And you just kind of see him running down a hallway, like, past... The main characters with this thing.
I don't remember that, but that's awesome.
Yeah, I'll find a picture of it.
I might just have to go watch it tonight. So if I remove Godfather, you would want to be in Star Wars?
Wait, if you ever...
If I were to say Godfather isn't an option for you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess I'd have to. I don't know. I mean, what am I going to be, a random Nazi in Indiana Jones?
He could be.
That'd be kind of cool. SS Officer Dina Cola. Now, what would your choice be?
Let's see. I to be honest, I hadn't thought about it. I wrote it down, but I tried not to think about it. I think I would want to be in either The Big Lebowski. Just throw me in, like, to any of the bowling alley scenes.
Yeah.
Or when his landlord does that weird play.
Oh yeah.
I'm just in a random seat somewhere. Back to the Future.
Very good choice. Well, both of them are, but.
But I would want to be in the 1955 part of Back to the Future.
Yeah, random guys sitting, yeah, like drinking maybe, his soda pop at the counter.
Yeah, or maybe one of the random guys that right after Biff crashes into the manure.
Oh, yeah.
And Billy Zane is covered in horse shit. I'm just one of the guys that's looking on. And I'm just like, wow, you see what he did?
That's actually a really good choice.
Now, what if you could... You could be either in one large movie, like The Godfather, Back to the Future, or a bunch of shitty movies.
So what, just be randomly popping into Sphere and...
No, like, even shittier than that. I'm talking, like, my picks would be, like, Howard the Duck.
Oh.
I would want to be in the closing credits. When the girl band starts singing the Howard the Duck song, and then all of a sudden Howard the Duck is all of a sudden on stage and he's just rocking out.
The fact that you remember this much about Howard the Duck is a problem.
I've seen the final scene several times because I watch it and I go, I can't believe that they made this. Because he comes out and he's almost trying to do like the Back to the Future Johnny B. Goode stuff.
Right.
Like, he's on there, and he's in a tweed coat, too. But they give him a guitar, and he starts playing, and he's, like, hopping on one foot while he's playing. It's so awful. I can't believe they made it. Because, like, he's back there, and I guess he's the manager. I don't remember the movie. I just know this last scene. He's the manager of, like, the band. And they're like, we want to thank Howard the Duck. And he's standing on something. And then one of the stagehands accidentally moves, like, one of the sandbags or something. And then he gets lifted up on a platform, and, like, he goes out on stage. And then they start singing about him, and he's like, well, what am I going to do? I guess I'll play guitar, because I'm Howard the Duck. So, I would want to go in... I would go in Howard the Duck and Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus. And Jersey Shore Shark Attack.
All right. If the movies are going to be that bad, then no, I would just take the one appearance in The Godfather.
No, but you could be in like 100 bad movies. Either one really good movie or 100 really shitty movies.
But the problem is that I would never, like, if they were movies of that caliber, I would never watch them. I would rather say I was in The Godfather than Howard the Duck and a bunch of, I mean.
No, okay, like, you know what? I'm going to change the contest then. The contest is to go into 100 shitty movies. And you have to name some of the movies you would pick then. You don't get to pick Godfather, whatever.
All right,
you gotta go. No... You gotta go in shit movies.
I mean, I
don't know why we entered this contest, but we did.
So I mean, how bad are these movies? I mean, is like Tremors bad enough?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay. I mean, Tremor. Maximum Overdrive. Definitely.
Mm.
Although there's not that many characters in there, it would be hard to like jump in. Still, somehow I'd find my way in there.
Creepshow 2?
Yeah, definitely Creepshow 2. Oh god. I don't know. Beyond Thunderdome. That might be a good one.
Yeah.
That movie sucks. God, and there's just so many fucking sci-fi movies and shit. Titanic 2. Did you ever see this?
No, I heard about it, but...
Dude, it was unbelievable. There were parts of it where, like, they tried to make it look like the ballroom in the Titanic or something. I mean, it was basically like a gymnasium with, like, a little banner up. And they were, like, sitting on folding chairs.
Is this one of the, like, the Asylum productions? The guys that purposely make terrible movies?
You know, I don't know. It was on demand. I don't even know why I watched it. I must have been really drunk or something. It was so bad. Every scene, it must have been freezing because I've never seen so many nipples in my... Well, no, that's not true. I've never seen so many nipples in a sci-fi movie.
Yeah, The Asylum. They're the guys that do like all the shitty movies. I posted a couple trailers to them, to some of their upcoming or released ones. They did what was it called? Air Collision, that had Reginald Vell Johnson on it. He was like the star that they got.
Oh and my god!
He was the air traffic controller who had to save a plane crashing into Air Force One, and there was some kind of a storm that knocked out electronics or something. I don't know. I really couldn't understand what was going on in the trailer.
And it sounds brilliant.
There was Abraham Lincoln Zombie Hunter. There's also Nazis at the Center of the Earth.
I heard about that.
That one looked pretty good. And they were the ones that did Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus with Debbie Gibson and Lorenzo Lamas.
Oh, my God. Some all-star cast right there.
That movie is awful. It's a hysterical movie because of how bad it is. I recommend seeing it, but don't see it sober and don't see it with the expectation of being like, this is going to be a really good movie.
Well, I can't imagine I would go into it thinking that.
Because there's, first of all, there's Debbie Gibson. And
she's a delicate flower.
Yes. There is a character who's supposed to be Australian, but he sounds like he's Scottish.
Sounds like your Australian accent.
Yeah. Lorenzo Lamas is in it as like the tough military expert And he hires... Well, now, he doesn't hire. I don't know why I'm saying hires. Because they figure out what's going on after research in the... Or global warming, or research on global warming. They're sending out, like, sonar or something like that, and it breaks off a glacier in Antarctica. It releases these creatures who were locked in battle when they were frozen.
Oh, yeah.
So now they're hunting each other, but we're just there and pissing them off, so they're coming after us, too. Of course. So the research team, which is Debbie Gibson, the Scottish-Australian guy, and then this random Asian guy, who I think he's Japanese.
Was he the tech guy?
No, he's just a random Japanese guy that's there. I don't remember how he gets involved in it.
Okay.
They're like the research team, and they're at somebody's house. And then all of a sudden, like a black ops team busts in. And Lorenzo Lamas takes him under, like, military control because he's like, you guys are going to help us destroy them. We have to destroy these creatures. And they're like, you can't do that. We've never seen anything like it before.
Who's saying that? The researchers?
Debbie Gibson, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But there's a good part because they arrest him and they put him in, you know, like a interrogation room. And they're all sitting around a table. And I guess they didn't have enough money for sound effects. Because there's just a shot of them sitting around a table. And then all of a sudden, everybody looks off screen, including like a guard in the background. And Lorenzo Lamas just walks on screen. And there's no sound of a door or anything. Like, they're all talking about what's going on. And then all of a sudden, they all look to their left. And Lorenzo Lamas just walks on. And then he's trying to act tough. So he pulls out a chair. And he puts up one of his legs like he's fucking Captain Morgan.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, listen, you guys are going to help us or I'm going to throw you in Gitmo or some shit like that. And the Australian guy's like, you can't do that to us. And he's like, listen, you British son of a bitch or something like that. He's trying to be racist, but he can't do it.
Right.
He's trying to be like the tough guy who's like racist and prejudiced and like starts calling everybody's names. But he doesn't call anybody the right names. And he doesn't sound tough at all. So finally, they're trying to help him. And I forget what happens in the middle. Like, they all kind of team up. There's one part, though, where they're doing research to figure out how to attract the two creatures. Because I think they're trying to draw them together to either take them out at once. Or they're trying to just get one to kill the other. Or get them to kill each other.
Yeah.
So they're doing research on how to do this together. So they're in just basically like a high school chemistry lab.
Oh, no. And is it Bunsen burners?
Yeah, there's all the Bunsen burners and weird bubbling liquids that are, you know, red and yellow and blue and all the colors that liquids are never actually in a chemical lab.
Right.
But all of a sudden... A romance blossoms between Debbie Gibson and the Asian guy.
Oh, gosh.
And they're, like, kind of making flirty eyes at each other while they're doing this research. Because I don't think they were actually doing research. They were just, like, looking at computers and pouring liquids or something like that. But she kind of, like, makes flirty eyes at him and then goes, I'm going to go to get some more materials. And he looks at her and is like, okay. She goes, no, material. And he goes, oh, okay. Now, before this, they never really talked. But 5 seconds later, they show them, like, under a blanket, which I don't know where they got a blanket from. In, like, a janitor's closet. Because all of a sudden this romance blossoms between them. And I don't remember how it ends. I'm pretty sure they destroy both of them. I'm not really sure. But it's pretty bad. But the best scene, and the whole reason that I watched this movie was because I saw the trailer on YouTube. And the trailer includes this part. And there's just a random plane set. And there's a guy that seems real nervous. And then they hit a little turbulence. And the guy gets up from his seat and he goes, oh my God, what was that? What was that? And the stewardess comes over and he goes, sir, you have to sit down. And he goes, Okay. Is it okay? And she goes, yeah. He goes, okay, because I'm getting married in 2 days.
So the prospect of dying isn't enough. It's that he's going to get married.
Yeah, so the stakes are really high. In case you can figure this out, Greg, the stakes are really high.
Oh, God.
So he sits back down and he looks out the window. It's so stupid.
Oh, no, wait. Does the shark jump out of the water?
Yeah,
grab the plane or something. He goes,
holy shit. And then the shark comes out of the water to catch a plane, which is thousands of miles in the air, or hundreds of miles in the air. I don't know how high do planes fly.
It's like 30,000 feet.
Okay, 30,000 feet. So he jumps 30,000 feet in the air.
It's several miles.
grabs the plane in its jaw, pulls it down into the water. But I was like, oh, that's so awful. I really want to see how they...
What?
How they do the rest of this movie.
Why? I mean, I just... These people come up with these fucking ideas. Like, why would that ever be a good idea? Why could it... How? I don't know. Like, obviously it's supposed to be stupid, but... Like, that's to the point of being... really, really stupid.
Yeah.
I don't know. Not for me.
I mean, it's when you're looking for something to watch and you're bored out of your mind and you're like, I want to watch a piece of shit that I don't have to pay attention to, they come in handy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what I did with the Titanic too. Also, Moby Dick 2012.
Did you watch that?
I watched the first maybe 15 minutes of it. It was terrible. I mean, obviously. But Moby Dick, I don't know. He was just – he's eating boats, like big boats. And
like Jaws?
Yeah, like much bigger. What's his face there? Ahab. Captain Ahab. He was going out hunting. And had a submarine, and he was chasing down Moby Dick. I didn't watch enough of it to really, really get the story. But it was a piece of garbage, as I'm sure you would assume.
Definitely, definitely. They crank out a lot of movies, though. The Asylum. I want to get a job working for them because apparently I can just come up with garbage.
I think they encourage garbage, or at least it seems like it.
So let's see. They got, let's look at some of these gems. Transmorphers, Fall of Man, they're Transformers. The 18-year-old Virgin.
It's not as funny.
You're just like, yeah, that doesn't sound good. Let's see. Two-headed Shark Attack.
I did see a portion of that.
Wow. You've seen more of their work than I have.
Unfortunately.
Almighty Thor. Battle of Los Angeles. Which I guess is a ripoff of Battle Los Angeles.
You know what? I saw 2 minutes of that.
How? Because... What are you watching these movies?
I'm not watching much of them. No, I saw... It was on the Netflix. And... I thought it was Battle Los Angeles, so I went to put it on, and it started out, and it was just so campy and so lame. I was like, you know what? I don't think this is it. But literally, I watched probably like 5 minutes. Not maybe not even.
The Terminators. Dragon Quest. The Day the Earth Stopped. Oh, here's one that's up your alley. Alan Quartermain and the Temple of Skulls. That's got to be a nice Indiana Jones ripoff.
Yeah.
Oh, here's another one that I've seen. 30,000 Leagues Under the Sea. I believe it also has Lorenzo Lamas in it. Yeah, they have snakes on a train.
Oh, yeah.
Which is very scary because there's no way you could get off a train.
No. It's almost impossible.
Yeah. You got to find a place to, you know, stop it on the tracks. or a hilly area to jump out of if you can slow it down. And
it's just not practical.
There was one, and I don't know if they did it or it was just the Sci-Fi Channel, but they had one with Urkel on it.
Oh man, Jaleel White.
Yeah, and he was just the Navy commander or something like that. He was also in an episode of NCIS, and they show him in the credits as like guest starring Jaleel White, and he's in it for like maybe 3 minutes. He's one of the guys that discovers the body.
Okay.
Like he's touring like a loft apartment or something with his wife, and he's like checking something out, and he goes, "Oh my god!" And they find the body, and then I think they ask him two questions, if that, and then that's it. But he's given credit for it.
Well,
they were like special guest appearance by Jaleel White.
I mean, I can see like deal. You know, he's got a role like that. Like, that's not too bad, but how do you ever take him seriously in anything, like, other than just a wicked quick cameo?
Yeah. He does a show on, actually, I think it's Sci-Fi now. What is it, Total Blackout?
Really? Oh, yes. Yeah. I saw something about that.
Yeah. Where they have to go into complete darkness, and then they have to smell... different things or touch different things and try to identify it. But he talks to them while they're in the darkness, and then he comes out and he goes, "All right, well, let's see how you did. The lowest score is going to get dropped through a trap door. The other guys will be okay." And everybody is standing on a trap door.
Yep.
And then whoever had the lowest, they just drop into a pit.
It sounds like a Japanese game show.
Yeah. It probably was.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it.
There's a good episode that I've seen where it's a clearly gay man. He gets to the smelling part and they smell like socks and cheese and something else. And then the last one through the glass is a guy standing there and it's his ass. And the gay guy's smelling it and going, what is that? Oh, and he smells it, and they cut to somebody else, and then they cut back to him, and he's going, I know that smell. I know that smell.
Oh my god.
And he goes, oh, and finally he just goes, oh god, it smells like ass. And they ring it right, and he goes, oh, of course. And then they cut to just like his confessional shot, and he's just laughing.
Oh, Jesus.
Alright, cool.
Yeah.
So that's been But You're Wrong. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/ButYou'reWrong. Twitter is BYW Podcast, and we're now available on the Stitcher app. So when you're on the go, when you're on the subway, when you're sitting in traffic, when you're taking your girlfriend shopping, you don't want to listen to everybody trying clothes and bitch about how they can't find anything in their size, you can just throw on your headphones and listen to us.
Is that what happened to you this weekend, Keith?
No, not at all. Seriously, not at all. We didn't go shopping at all. So check us out on that, and subscribe to iTunes, and hit us up on Twitter and let us know what you think. And I think that's about it. You got anything?
Nope.
I'm Keith Bodela.
I'm Greg DiNicola. Yeah, if I don't see you through the week, I'll see you through the window. Or we'll see you through the window. Fuck.
That's it for me. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.